this afternoon. I want to preach to you just for a short while today a message that I have titled, God Says It's My Promise. God said, it's my promise. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, chapter 78 and verse 19, the second portion, the Bible talks about, says, can God, the people, they made God angry. They called after him. They tempted him and said, well, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he? My question for you in the realm of the power of faith, which is your faith, what is it that God cannot do? What can he not do? Can he furnish a table in the wilderness? You better believe your buckets he can. Ever since the days that Jesus walked upon this earth and continuing on past the time when God had poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost upon those who had gathered on that day of Pentecost, Satan never one time has ceased to not attempt to obscure and to cloud the minds of men and women like you and I from fully believing in and understanding the fact that we not only have access to, but we have the capability of obtaining in our present lives all that God said that he has promised. Amen. When you think of the word obscure, that means to keep from being seen, to hide from us, to conceal, and then going that one step further to cloud means to cover up in hopes you can't see it. Could you imagine in heaven today how many angels were rejoicing in the fact that the church got all them cylinders falling and flying together and firing, and people began to feel the Holy Ghost and respond to him? Don't tell me God don't have no promise. Don't tell me God can't get away them clouds and that obscurity and allow us to see exactly what he says he's promised. As a result of this action or reaction to this form of a smoke screen that's been placed before us, it almost seems as though Satan has been able to put on hold the opportunity of taking advantage of any of the number of the many promises that God in his word says are waiting for us. Put it this way, James in chapter 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. And I say today, instead of declaring, I don't have it because I never asked for it, why don't you say, well, Jesus said it, well, then I believe it. His word cannot lie. He don't lie. For an example, did you know that through the very utterance of your own, catch this now, spoken words, you at any moment have the access to that power and the potential that could allow you to attain anything and everything God says you can attain. The power of that spoken word, did you know God spoke the world into existence? It was the power of the spoken word. When you say it, try to say something sometimes and then reach out and grab it to pull it back or to put it down or to cover it up. You said it. It's out there. And you say, you know what, God, today I declare I want the Holy Ghost. Today I'm going to get that healing. And it went out there. God, you spoke the world into this existence. God, speak through me. As we read already this afternoon, book of Mark 16:17-18, where the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. What I ask you to consider is this. Are these just words, or is it a promise from God? Is it a promise from God to us because of his word, we have that potential of accessing, and one of the main reasons maybe that we don't, is because the words that are recorded in these verses require they who seek to possess such promises also to have resident within them the power of a now faith. I have to have that power. We talk a lot about the power of now faith. Can I ask you a question? Who told Peter and John on the way to the temple that they could not say to the lame man, rise and walk? Did you find your Bible there walking down there and said, hey, what do you think we can do? Do you think this is possible? Do you think God will talk to us? What if we tell that guy to get up and he don't get up. What are you going to do now? You'll find nowhere it says, well, here, we can do this because I think we can. No. It was a promise. He poured out his spirit. He filled them with the Holy Ghost. And they were going to the temple as they did on a daily basis. This time they happened to look down at that lame man at the gate, beautiful. And you know what Peter said? Look on us. That's right. And he looked up expecting. Oh, can't you catch this, kids? He looked up expecting to receive. Did you come to church today this afternoon expecting all these crazy people doing what they were doing? I don't know. Anyhow, he looked up expecting to receive. And they said, well, silver and gold have I not. That means I'm going broke for another day. No. But he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can rise up and walk. He took him by that right hand and he lifted him up and he came to his feet, leaping and jumping and praising God. You see, that's just one of his promises. Listen to this. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Shall. I ain't touching them. I ain't doing that. Then you can stay in that limited little cubicle where nothing's going to happen. You say, you know what? If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. Now you may not have realized this, but what you need to focus in on in such verses is they're only part of God's promises. Uh-huh. It's a little bit. It's like a drop in the bucket that God says he has waiting for us throughout his word. What God, I want to tell you today is this. There are many more. All right, just a few? Okay, fine. Bible says God will supply all our needs. Not all your wants. He said he'll supply all of your needs. God promises to never leave you nor forsake you. In the world, I found out what leaving forsaking was all about. Do you have any money? No. Do you have any drugs? No. Do you have any beer or booze? No. Do you have any smokes? No. Bye. See, God doesn't say, well, you know what? Today, I think he'll ignore you. He says, I will never leave, nor shall I forsake you. Every day, he's an ever-present God. Every day, God is going to walk with you. Every day, you can wake up and say, good morning, Jesus. Every day you can go to your job, to the school, and know that God and the power of his might is going with you. Bible says he'll give us the power to overcome temptation. Can I give you a scripture? Hey, thanks. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, power of a temptation. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, amen? Amen? Who will not suffer you to be tempted of that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know what happens? It's just like this, you know. I want to do something bad or wrong. Maybe I'm just coming off of a smoking habit or going to a friend's house and he pulls out a six-pack of beer or something's going wrong and I'm sitting there and going, oh, man, I remember I used to smoke, you know, and oh man, I could really use a drink right now. And do you have any water? What? I said, do you have any water? I just got a six-pack here, man. What are you talking about? I want water. Why do you want water? Because I don't want that stuff. God don't like that. And you know what I did? I gave up the holy smoke in the supper room, and I attained the heavenly fire in the upper room. So I don't want that stuff. And so God says he'll give you an opportunity to take a left turn or maybe a right. Just get out of there. Get away from that. How about, I like this one, victory over death. Victory. You ever think of that? Jesus. This asthma wants to play games with me. When Jesus went down to hell. What did he do? He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from that little jerk and from the devil. Yeah, anyhow, he took them away. And when turn, what did he do? He gave me victory over death. He gave me the ability to live above sin. Jesus said in Matthew, I think, 1:23, that you'll bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins, not in them. Oh. I got more wind than you got time. Okay, fine. See, today these, along with many other promises, were not only given to the apostles. We think of those folks sometimes. But these promises are they which are not only we can read about, isn't that nice? But because of our becoming heirs and joint heirs with Christ and with the people of God, these are promises is now written to us. For they, my friends, have been given to all of those who in their lives and the power of faith, their faith in God, seek to get them. Hey, knock. It'll open. Seek. You're going to find it. Ask, and it shall be given. But you see, he won't do it for Denisha here. Forget it. He won't do it for Brother Mike back there. Forget it. He ain't going to talk to Brother Beer. Forget it. He only talks to, you know, certain people. That ain't what my Bible says. Given unto us are all these promises. We have the promises of God. I can attain them. The apostles didn't get them. I can have them. Oh. The promises that are given to us. Could you imagine? Do you have an imagination? I do. Hey, kids, ready? Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool? Hey, sister, wouldn't it be cool to walk in your backyard to the promise tree? Excuse me, Mom, before I go to school today, I'm going out to the promise tree. Oh, what do you want? Well, I need protection today. Oh, okay. And you pull it off the tree, and you walked in, and you walked out of the house, and you got a big smile on your face. Mom goes, what'd you do? Well, I went and got my promise. Well, where'd you get it from? I got it from the promise tree, of course. Well, you know, I'm feeling really sad today, feeling lonely and friendless, you know. And so I'm going to go out to my promise day. And the Bible says Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to take that one. And it don't matter what they think. I got Jesus in my pocket. You know, I got God with me. And I went out to that promise. Wouldn't that be cool, my cabal? Oh, goodness. Whatever you want to just walk outside. And I mean, I know. Okay, we got to get carnal a little bit. If it was the adults, they don't want the promise tree. They would prefer a money tree. They got to pay the bills, you know. But I still want the promise tree. Whew. The Apostle Peter, in his epistle, revealed his own revelation of the understanding of this truth that he wrote in 2 Peter 1:4. Throw it up there, 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Hey, you know what? God said, I promise. Yeah. It's not exclusive. They're mine. What would you like today? You ever do that? What's for dinner today, Mom? What am I taking to lunch today? You know, what are we getting for snack time, Mr. Wilson? Brother Mike? What are you getting for snack today in the class, Sister Hall? And what are we getting for snack? Oh, you'll find out. Well, why don't we treat God that same way? Hey, God, what are we getting for snack today? What are you bringing for dinner today? Can I have a Holy Ghost? Can I get a renewing? Can I have it? And he said, of course you can have it. It's my promise. Huh. Wow. So because of Calvary, to the lost, there was given a promise of redemption and a promise of reconciliation. Amen. I don't have to forever remain lost. I can be redeemed by that blood divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. You see, once I was lost, but now I'm found. In regards to all of humanity, as a people, we have been given back the opportunity of our rediscovering hope. Instead of being left with a feeling of utter hopelessness. You ever felt that? I felt hopeless in my young life many a time. But Jesus, through his promise, brought me back hope. Because of Jesus, you now have the right to declare, if my Jesus said I can believe it, his word cannot lie. He said it's his promise. God's promise to those who are captive is the opportunity to receive from him deliverance. And that, my friends, is from any one of the chains. We talked about it today, saying it. From any of the chains that appear to hold you bound, alcoholic's life, a drug addict's life, those who are tormented with guilt and shame. Maybe I've got some kind of addiction and I cannot break it free from. God's promise to the captive is to make the captive free. To those who call upon God, he offers them a promise of safety and of strength and of wisdom and of spiritual guidance. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Well, what about safety? The Bible says that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. Amen. Okay, well, how about strength? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount as up as eagles. They'll walk. They'll run. And they'll make it. Yeah, that's good enough strength. Okay, well, what about wisdom? Didn't Jesus say in the, I think it was the book of Luke, then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You know what? I was stupid in the world, but I got smart in Christ. I began to realize my position and my situation of life, and he gave me the wisdom to walk away from the darkness of this world and to walk into the wisdom of God. How about spiritual guidance? The Bible says, with the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things whatsoever I command you. I think it goes on to say, no, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Something like that. Hey, we'll live. We'll live. The promises that God gives to those who choose to live their lives under the shadow of his wings is a promise of a continual access to what God promises. But I have said, in order for you to receive this, God's promises, first, you must come to the understanding that they are yours. You catch that? They are. They belong to you, and that God's promises can be yours. Right. Listen to this. The question that you got to settle in your heart is, do you believe enough in God that you can have what he said you can have, that you can acquire if God says he promises them to you? Do you believe that God, when he said you can possess in your life what I promised to you, that you can override doubt, fear, skepticism and unbelief and say, yes, God, I can have it? You know how many times we go home beat up because we came in here convicted or maybe in sin or just feeling like yuck, and we didn't kind of exert ourselves and we didn't give ourselves to God, and I went home the way I came, and that wasn't hopefully in Jesus' name, you know. But what can I do? I can walk in here and say, you know what, doubt, get out. Fear be gone. Skepticism and unbelief. What do you mean? God touched you in that little prayer. Then he should God touch you, probably like he never touched you before. And all you did was respond. You know why? Because he said, that's your promise. That's a promise. I believe what God said. And you know, I believe that his word is true. And more and more, I believe that because God says it. He said, I promised. Ready? The writer of the book of Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 writes this. I'll get the breath, and you get the verse. Isaiah 59:1 writes, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. What the prophet Isaiah declared, and what the Spirit of God has come to declare to you today, is the fact that every day it's you who has access to any one of the promise from God that God said he offered to you. His hand is not short and that he cannot say, you come to church today, God will fill you the Holy Ghost. You come today, he'll forgive you of your sin. You come today and ask pastor to baptize you and you tell him you repented. In a watery grave you can go. Listen, I ignored God all my life. Yeah, well, his ear is not dull that it cannot hear. Did they just say sorry? Angels, just a moment. He said sorry. She told me she loved me. Could it be that in reference to us today as a church and as a people that we've been or we're living below our privilege when it comes to understanding that it's God who declares, I told you, it's my promise. My promise. Can I tell you a sad thing? But I'm not really sad. I'm not the Apostle Peter. I never could be the Apostle Paul. You know, I sure don't want to be Demas. But, you know, I was never really anything in my whole life. Really? Seriously? Kidding me? Somebody knows that verse. Anyhow, who says you can't be? Who says you can't? You know what? God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of desire. And through desire, we intermeddle with all the wisdom from God. Through desire, if I want it, I'm going to get it. How do you know that? Because God says it's my promise. That's why. You're not a pauper, friends. But you're a child of God. You that are blood bought, blood washed. Those of you in your lives who can come into the promises of God because of that reason. For no other reason. Because he said, I promise. In the book of Luke chapter 12, in the second portion of verse 32. I love this one. Here the Bible says, it's your Father's good pleasure. I want to give this to you. How many of you, wish I had a toonie at hand at somebody, but I don't have any change. They didn't give me my car, my truck keys. Anyhow, how many of you, he said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What? Yeah. And so you walk up and say, hey, Jesus?
Yeah. Huh.
I'm really sick today. This asthma is overtaking me and I'm finding it hard to preach. Can you give me the air? I'll give you the air and then I'll shut it off to church. No, keep it with me. Now that there's another scripture that says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What would happen, young people, if you went back to your school? What would happen, sir, ma'am, if you went back to your job site and you didn't write on boxes? Yeah, I won't tell it. Anyway, what would happen? He went back there and he got, I got joy like a river and it flows continually. I got joy like a river and it flows all over me. Like a newborn baby, I've been set free. Shouting hallelujah, I've been redeemed. I'm so glad I got joy, 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 joy. Woo! What would you do if you went in there and say, goodness, 13 teachers quit. They burned up all of our grades that we worked for the last 6 months on, and they're going to shut the school with nobody. And no, you wouldn't go, oh yeah, there's a Jesus. You know what? I don't care. What do you mean you don't care? Can you see I'm excited? I got that peace. God's going to make a way. Really? Righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We come to church. You know what? We do this all the time. It's kind of a lot of fun. And you lift up your hands and you worship God and that Holy Ghost comes down. Can I tell you something? Sure. It's a promise. You think I can have it? Yeah! You can have it because I can have it. We can have it. It's. What would you do if you went to work and instead of being Blue Monday, you tell them that the sky was blue and the grass was green? Book of Jeremiah 31, 33, Brother Holland. Book of Jeremiah 31, 33, the Lord declares, but this shall be a covenant that I'll make with you, house of Israel, we're the church. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What Jeremiah was declaring was nothing other than the fact that God said, I have promised. You see, what you have, what you can attain is something that money cannot buy. Yeah. Simon the sorcerer found out, hey, give me money. I'll fill people with the Holy Ghost. I'll give you some cash. You can't buy it. It's not earned. Promises are not earned. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good.
Wow.
But it's our inheritance from God. It's our inheritance. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be more than overcomers. You shall be more than a conqueror. Book of John, chapter 14, verse 12. John 14 and 12 in the gospel. Jesus declares, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. What does Jesus, as I've already quoted to you, what does he say? He says, just ask, you shall receive. What did he say? Seek, and you shall find. What did he tell us? Knock, and it shall be open to you. It was at the very word of the apostles that miracles and miraculous was performed. The disciples of the Lord showed forth signs and wonders in the sight of the masses, the multitudes before them. And I ask you today, why is this not as often as being revealed in the same fashion through us today? Why? Because in some of our hearts, somewhere deep down inside of us, for some reason or another, we or you fail to understand the fact that it was God who said, I promise. It's my promise. One of my favorite stories in the Bible times was where Elijah and Elisha. Well, Elijah was telling Elisha, well, you know what? If you want me to be blessed by you, go to 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'll talk about it, then we'll read it. 2 Kings chapter 2. He said, well, if you're there when I disappear in the clouds, Elisha, if you're there, I'll get your blessing. You can have my blessing. Well, what do you want? I want a double portion of your spirit. And let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2, the 13th and the 14th verse. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters, and he said, where is that God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they departed hither and thither from side to side. Where is that God that filled these young ladies with the Holy Ghost? Where is that God that forgave these people of their sin? Where is that God that said, I can rise and walk in newness of life? What if you got a double portion? What if you got the Holy Ghost? You got baptized in Jesus' name. You got a whole bunch of the gifts of the Spirit automatically operating in your life, and we're still working on them. That is his promise. Well, why can't I do that? What was the deal with Elisha? He did what the man of God told him to do. All you have to do. And all of us today in the church living for God as a child of God in our opportunity to receive what I'm talking about. I believe more and more in these end times, the face of the end times, that for us, the time has come for you, for all of us to start reaching out to begin to impart as we as God's people seek what he has promised. I believe that it is the sky that is a limit. I believe that God up in heaven, you know what he did? Could you imagine, girls, you know, just go a little bit younger. You might still be junkies, you never know, food. But could you imagine having a candy store and your dad went in there and he took all the jars off in those candy stores, in the candy jars in that store. And then he said, I'll be back in about an hour. I think I'm sick. When he comes back. I mean, you see, that's like God. He takes the jars of all of his promises and says, whatever you want, the sky's the limit. And when God says, I'm going to give these to you, it's just like walking to the candy store. Ooh, oh, jawbreakers, them's my favorite. Oh, wow, chewy gummy bears. Whoa, man, that's really cool. Licorice, I like red. Do you like black? Whatever promise you want, God says he'll give it to you. And so, ready? I want you to consider this today, church. What are your limits? I mean, where do your boundaries lie? when I seek to bring this message to a close, how big is your God? And do you believe that Jesus, as he said, you can have whatever he said you can have? Do you believe that? See, any one of the promises that God says you can have, you can access, that you desire to attain, to come in possession of, as far as God is concerned, his promises, you've got access to them. Come and get them. I looked for the time. I had to be 19 because I was a rotten little brat when I was younger, so I didn't behave myself, so I had to get my license when I was 19. But anyhow, could you imagine? Hey, Dad! Yes, sweetheart? Can I have the keys to the car? Well, sure. You know, you just turned 16 and you got your N. Hey, Mr. Holland, I saw your daughter down at the school there, and she was revving the engine and burning wheelies in the parking lot. Kidding. Could you imagine? God says you can have them. Once you start, hear me now, once you start reaching for them, and if you heard and comprehended anything what I told you this afternoon in this service, my question to all of you that are before me, what are you waiting for?
Oh, Jesus.
What do you desire? Do you want the Holy Ghost today? Do you want healing? Do you need deliverance? Do you desire to have that power to become a witness, to the power to be a potential in your life, to be what you want to be? Let's stand together. What do you really want? Well, I don't know. You walk into a restaurant and they give you the menu, and the lady or the man comes out and says, can I take your order? I don't know what I want. Well, today, don't be that way. Say, God, I'd like to have this. I'd like the Holy Ghost. And God, I want deliverance in my life over that. And yes, God, I need that healing in my body, in my child's body. I need you to touch them. The next few moments, as you begin to reach out, whether you come to the front of the church, as I open this altar, or you stay where you are, you can possess his promise because God told me that I promise for you. Come and get it. Come and die in the master calling. Careful. Are you standing in your seats now? Come on. Bring somebody to the front and get them their promise. Hey, God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. When? Right now.